The following are excerpts from an Indigenous Peoples Day panel at Washington State University, Vancouver, on the Chinook and Tsleil Waututh struggles for federal recognition. The federal recognition process is a relatively recent development that began in 1978 during the Carter administration. The process came on the heels of a decades-long policy known as termination that began in the 1940s. In the termination era, the federal government effectively refused to engage with the tribes as sovereign entities and disavowed federal responsibilities outlined in the treaties. It was yet one more attempt to force Indigenous people to disavow connections to their tribes and to their ancestral lands. The panel features Sam Robinson, Vice Chairman of the Chinook Indian Nation, and Tsleil Waututh activist Lana Jack. The panel was facilitated by Cheyenne Lakota activist Robin White, who is also a member of the Olmo Collective. The first voice you'll hear is Robin's.
When we're talking about federal recognition, we're talking about a relationship between the United States government and the governments that were existing here before there was a United States government.
I currently serve as the elected vice chairman of the Chinook Indian Nation. Our territory starts about Oak Point, just a little bit west of Kalama, and goes all the way to the mouth, both sides of the river, all the way down the mouth of Columbia River, into the Willapa Bay, and down to Tillamook Head. I've been on tribal council for 22 years, and I would just like to say when I first came on the tribal council, we were a federally recognized tribe. And since then, I've spent the last 21 years fighting for that status to get to become federally recognized again because the Bush administration pulled it out from underneath us. We are a sovereign nation. We're sovereign because of our ancestors and the land they lived on, and we firmly believe that. You know, we just need to make the federal government step up to the plate, you know, honor the treaty. The federal government has treated us as the Indians all along. We've had fishing rights. You know, I remember going fishing with my father when I was young in the 70s and having the gamey come up to him and asking for his license, and he'd pull out that blue card, and the gamey would be standing 10 feet away, see that card come out, and he'd say, "Have a good day. I hope you catch a lot of fish." He wouldn't even look at it. He knew what it was. So we had fishing rights. So all along, we've been recognized as Indians, but today we aren't. One thing I like to tell people, we don't have the right to protect the bones of those ancestors that our ancestors would not give everything away for. And that really hurts hard. You know, we have people that have suffered from boarding schools and self-medicated, and we don't have the health care to take care of that. We have all the problems of tribes that are on reservations in our community with suicides and drug and alcohol, but we don't have anybody to take care of them. We have no reservation. Our people are suffering, you know, and today we're really putting a push on getting this recognition taken care of. We're telling the senators it's time to stop allowing the suffering to happen. Put a bill forward. We put a bill in their hand in January, and it's gone through legislative review. And we're hoping that it'll pop out the other side and somebody will pick it up and let's get this taken care of finally.
Tsleil Waututh activist Lana Jack.
Our great fish chief, Tommy Thompson, between 30 and 48, the negotiations for the building of the Bonneville Dam, which was the first dam erected on the Columbia River. They set the parameters with Bonneville being the first, and I don't know if it's Cooley or whatever it is, the furthest dam up. Those two dams went in, setting the parameters for simultaneously putting up dams just one after another on the Columbia River, and the Dalles Dam flooded Tsleil Falls. There's nothing more traumatic to the generations that have suffered this trauma than to lose Tsleil Falls. Tsleil Falls is not dead and gone. Been taken prisoner of war March 10, 1957. And because she's been taken prisoner of war, we as the people, her people, have been put on the extermination list and to date apprehended for extermination. On March 10, 1957, my mother's travailed, wailing in the wind as the falls was flooded. Chief Tommy Thompson laid on the tracks in protest. He said, "I will never sign my fish away. I will never signature my fish away. Our lives was nothing in exchange for mass electricity. When yet our people live down here in extreme poverty, no doctors, no housing, no electricity, no running water. I love my river people. We never left the people who are on the river. are the people who come from the people who never left. Slalo Falls became a lottery, parceled away left and right. Telephone companies, electric companies, railroads, highways, U.S. forestry. They created these departments just to compartmentalize us out and exterminate us. The fulfillment of the promise was meant to be a long time ago. We're sitting here and we're getting low in numbers. Us, the Chinook tribe, the Duwamish, the Palouse. When does our truth matter? We're still under this ongoing genocide. It didn't end. It's not ended. Starving people out, denying them their right to subsistence, fish, hunt, and gather. We deserve justice. We deserve federal recognition because Salila Falls was flooded. We deserve the fulfillment of the promises now. This nation needs to honor our treaties, and the 1855 treaty is the treaty, the only treaty that Chief Tommy Thompson would in one way honor, because the ratified treaties of 1859 and 1865 were specifically written just for these crazy bands of Indians on the Columbia River who wouldn't leave and become a reservation Indian. After the flooding of the falls, alcohol was the only way we could medicate ourselves because we were being starved out. So I honor everybody who seeks justice out there in Indian country for their people. And I pray we could collaborate all together as and form a union somehow, all of us together, seeking justice for our people and for our land.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. So to understand that under that policy of the United States government, that assimilation, they wanted to erase Indians. They wanted to erase the history. They would have to admit that these were unceded lands. 50s, 60s, and 70s, there was a thing called termination, where the United States government again tried to eliminate the tribes so that there was no such thing as Indians anymore. And they actually did that, and they took people and they dropped them thousands of miles away into a city and a family. And of course, you're not Indian anymore. Of course, you're not white, but here you are.
But you're not Native American either.
Yeah, exactly. You're nothing now. So, yeah, you're not Indian, but you're not white. That termination was slowed down and stopped. However, a lot of those tribes that lost their recognition or their relationship with the federal government still haven't gotten those back. And that is extraordinarily troubling, that all of a sudden you can just be eliminated or by a stroke of a pen, you know, you're no longer an Indian, you're no longer a human being. Even though we were supposed to be citizens, it wasn't until the 80s that we were allowed to practice our religion. As Sam Robinson said, you know, we weren't allowed off of the reservations.
My heart goes out to you, Lana. You know, I know my ancestors traveled up into your territory in the springs to go to the markets and trade. And so we have a deep, deep history with you as well up in the upper river. I think one of the big things for Chinook is to have a true seat at the table with all the other tribes in the state of Washington. You know, I mean, we have a lot of agencies that listen to us, but, you know, there's certain ones that won't. You know, for instance, the Corps of Engineers refuses to talk to us, and they do a lot of work in our ancestral territories, and sometimes they interrupt our villages. But luckily, we have friends like Kalitz and Grand Ron who will give us a heads up when something's happening in our territory. We need that power in our territory for everything. One day, the Governor Greg Wall, was in the office, and we were holding up that money, that federal money for that park, and a friend of mine was in the office with her, and she told me. She said, the governor said, well, those Chinook aren't recognized. We're going to move on without it. And several people in that room said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Being recognized would give us that. It would give us a chance to create a healing house, you know, so we can take care of our people, you know.
Yes.
And just a few months ago, we found out that they're going to close the Nacelle Youth Camp. Well, we strongly believe that the governor needs to surplus that to Chinook. It would give us 26 acres with several buildings, that we'd have an instant administration. We could do field schools for people that want to learn about nature. We can have a healing house because there's at least five people that work there that are in that business that we could keep. They wouldn't be displaced. They can come work for us. And when I say work for us, I mean us and the entire community. Like I said, Chinook's always been good in the community, and we want to take care of those folks around us. Pacific County is one of the poorest counties in the state of Washington. And if Chinook recognition would bring a lot to those people, a lot of resources. The other thing that I always tell people is that it's good to have a federally recognized tribe in your back pocket when it comes to taking care of Mother Earth, because, we have a lot of clout. And today, we just recently started working with Columbia Land Trust, you know, because they feel it's important that Chinook be at the table with them. But it's all about, educating people, educating our own people, you know, creating a reservation so we can bring people back. Because our people are scattered because there's not enough jobs in Pacific County. So if we can create jobs and bring people back, it would be great. For me personally, I would love to see us put in several plank houses and create a cultural center where people can come and learn about how it is to be Chinook and be in our canoes. And I would like to share that culture. You know, we're rich in culture because we refuse to leave the bones of our ancestors. And we feel really good about that.
I'm believing that this is the hour of acknowledgement, and the hour of acknowledgement means our truths matter. Starving out of Indian people because they don't have the right to fish, hunt, and gather because that was our way of life is in need of being put out on the table for everybody to begin to digest and heal. The people who have stolen our land need to think in this hour about reparations and what that means for the people who are under extermination, like us, the Chinook, the Duwamish, the Plus, the Stiliquam, to be allowed to bring our people back to good health and have housing, running water, and electricity. We need our own sovereign nation here on the Columbia River, and we have been put under the scope for extermination, and this must end. It just must end.
What do you think the general public and the citizens of the United States can do to be doing the right thing for these tribes and for recognition?
Right now, I think, the help that we need, obviously, is to get word to the senators, tell them they need to step up to the plate and take care of us. You know, we've been getting lip service for over 20 years from them. I can remember going to fundraisers for Camp Well, and she said, yeah, we need to take care of Chinook, and that was 20 years ago. Spread the story amongst your friends. You know, I'll be giving out some postcards that have our Twitter and our Facebook. We have a lot of social media, and you'll be able to look and go see some of our history, you know, and visit our ChinookNation.org.
I think I just need an attorney. We need an attorney. I think there's enough proof out there that we've been treated both arbitrary and capricious. I could use help all the way around with these documents and research and the writing and the documentation and just making this happen, because there's so much there in these documents that it's just unreal.
You go home to your church, you go to your organization, anything that you're part of on any club or organization, one of the Chinook websites, there's form letters there that you can print out, you can sign, you can use the wording from to make your own, but get your organizations to write to your U.S. congressmen and senators and say, look, let's start honoring the treaties. Let's start talking about honoring the Chinook, the Duwamish, the Salina YM, and the Palouse, all these other tribes that aren't, and there's more tribes than just those. We'd appreciate that kind of alliance and that kind of help, but it's incredibly important to do. If you're a union member, go to your union, your church, your fraternal organization.
You've been listening to audio from an October 12th panel on the Chinook and Salila YM struggle for federal recognition. The panel featured Sam Robinson and Lana Jack and was moderated by Robin White. We'll post the link to the complete panel, sponsored by Native Programs and the Collective for Social and Environmental Justice at Washington State University, Vancouver, when we post the show. This has been Desiree Helliger for the Old Mole Variety Hour.